Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Well, in case you guys don't know who these people are, this is Terry and Maureen Simpson. They were actually a little bit late because they were actually running around serving this morning in our new people's team, and we had to rush them backstage. And this is Joel Fletcher, who's a youth pastor here at our Myrie campus. And I just thought we'd spend just a few minutes just talking to these guys about legacy. Terry and Maureen, maybe you can start off and tell us how long have you been a Christian? How long have you been walking with Jesus and being part of the church community? Just you know, widely give us a bit of an overview.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. I'll start and hand to Maureen. I didn't grow up in a family that went to church.
Uh-huh.
I started going to church myself when I was about 15, but stopped when I was about 20. I was studying philosophy at uni, started to have doubts, and those doubts stayed with me for quite a long time. And in fact, I married Maureen. She was a Christian, and she brought our children up in the church, mm-hmm. with no help from me, I'm afraid. And it wasn't until about, you know, almost 10 years ago, I started feeling the call again from God.
Wow!
And eventually said to Maureen that, you know, I want to start going to church with you. And I first did that at South City Church in Myrie. In 2011.
Yeah.
And
with a praying wife, you had really had no hope, did you? Yeah. you were cornered.
No. And I've been blessed by this church family ever since.
Wow.
And Maureen's story is, I think, a far more inspiring one than mine.
Over to you, Maureen. Tell us a bit about how long have you been a Christian?
Oh, is that better?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. My mum used to take us when we were little. So I've always been a Christian, but I did have a break when I first came over here until I got settled and everything. And it was when, after I'd met Terry and we'd got married, we moved to Cairns, and I wasn't feeling very well, and I went to the doctors, and he said, the best thing you can do is go back to church. So I did.
Wonderful. That's so
that
great.
That was his medicine.
That's amazing.
So you know, I've been going ever since.
When we say the word legacy, maybe Terry or Maureen, can you tell us what that word means to you?
Well, legacy to me is when you leave something behind for somebody. And a lot of people, well, I think a lot of the times, people think it's something big that you've got to leave behind. But I think sometimes even just the smallest thing, like a small word, a friendly word to somebody can actually change their thoughts.
That is powerful.
And when
right
you
there,
change their thoughts, you're changing generations.
Wow, amazing. Yeah. Change their thoughts, and you're changing generations. Terry, maybe you can tell us how important it is, you think, to sow and obviously encourage the next generation, the youth and kids that are coming up and you know, those that are coming up after us.
Yeah, look, I just think that's so important. Many of you may not know, but I spent the biggest part of my career working in child protection, so. And I guess I've seen just so many instances of children who have had all of the wrong influences and the wrong experiences in their life. And I think through mentoring children, through really showing them the greatness of God's love in the way that we interact with them and deal with them, is just so important. So that they may grow to know God's grace and prosper in their lives. And to me, there's nothing more important than we can do with our lives than contribute to the generations that are coming after us.
Wonderful. So powerful. Tell us how you feel, obviously, when you come to church services and you see young people and children around the generational thing. in our church. Tell me what that means to you to be a part of something like that.
Oh, look, I just think that's fantastic. You see the young people coming up the front at the start of church, and you see them just so inspired and full of enthusiasm for the Lord and enthusiasm for what life has ahead of them.
Yeah.
And I think the more we can nurture that and support them in that and make church a wonderful experience for them, because the history tells us there are some children for whom church hasn't been a wonderful experience. And I think we just have such a huge responsibility to make sure that all of the children in our church just grow in His love, and that we're a part of that and contribute to it.
That's powerful. We have a huge responsibility to make sure the next generation grow in His love. Isn't that great? Thank you so much. Give Terry a big hand and Maureen. Joel, over to you now, mate. Tell us about whose legacy you're standing on right now.
Yeah, so I think the legacy that I stand on goes back really to my grandfather, and looking at the fact that he moved his family from living in New South Wales and moving to WA for a job, and really catching a heart, not really knowing much about the church scene and thing over here, was really just looking for an authentic experience of what church should look like. And so founding a church up in Carnarvon, and then the legacy that he left and passed that on to my father. And so I think so much of the legacy that I now get to see has come before is that one that just chases an authenticity in what it means to follow God. Yeah. That it isn't about about necessarily knowing heaps, but it's about being passionate in what you do know and expressing that. And I think I get to stand on now the shoulders of people that have just been consistent through and through, just through the hard times, through the good times, that they've just been consistent through all of that.
Yeah, so good. You know, millennials and Gen Ys have often been given the label of entitled or, self-centered. And after hearing you say that about your own life, what would you say to your peers about legacy, that whole idea of just doing today what's going to affect tomorrow?
Yeah, I think a big thing that I've found is that character is often shown not in the great times, but it's shown in the really tough times. Mm. And the power, I think, of the legacy that I saw is that in the hardest times were the times that they stood the tallest and that they chased after God the most. And so I think, like, for me and for us as a younger generation, like, we have to take that to heart, that our journey as Christians is so much of it is built in going to God in those tough times and in those rough times. And I think just saying that consistency and seeing that throughout their whole lives, regardless of how people responded to them, is just, it to me, it's such an encouragement and such a challenge to me and my pride that says, you know what, like, it was a tough week this week at youth, to actually look at it and go, no, we're actually building kingdom here, and we're building something that has to last and something that isn't just for me, but it's going to be for my kids one day as well.
Yeah, so. Wonderful. That's a great answer. Come on, give these guys a big hand. Yeah. Thank you so much, Joel Fletcher, Terry and Maureen Simpson. Amazing. Well, today we're going to hear from one of my favorite preachers. Chrissy's going to be taking the stage, and so would you give her a big hand as she comes and speaks to us on this whole idea of legacy.
Morning. How good is this Sunday? I know, are you enjoying yourselves? Bit different. I think God smiles, doesn't He, when we honour, the ones that have gone before us. I think honour is always a good idea. Who agrees with me? It is always the right thing to do to show honour and to bless on the people that have gone before us and have lit a spark in us. You know, I think we could all speak or testify to somebody that has poured fuel on the fire of our faith, people that have believed in us, people that have seen more in us than perhaps we ever saw in ourselves, people that have championed us. It is right that we pause and we reflect and we are deeply deeply grateful for those people in our lives. And I'm sure as you're sitting there, you've all got somebody in your mind or some people in your mind that have maybe been that to you and been part of the reason that you're where you are today. But I think when we come around this whole topic of this whole initiative of Legacy Sunday, it's not just about honoring the legacy of those who have gone before us, but it's also thinking about the legacy that we're leaving for the ones that are coming after us. Our 8 culture statements, you're probably familiar with them, but one of those culture statements says this. It says, we are about the generations. It says, we have the future in mind. We're building something now that future generations will inherit. Can anyone say amen to that? This is not just, you know, a nice idea, but we hold a core conviction that living generationally, that living as legacy leavers is the way that God himself actually intends for us to live. You know, the scripture is incredibly clear that we serve a generational God. Right at the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them the ability to reproduce and he gave them the mandate to be fruitful and to multiply. And that was a mandate that they fulfilled. You know, right there in the very first generation, he seeded every subsequent generation. You know, God never thinks in terms of a singular generation, but always in terms of the generations. One of those Old Testament names of God was that he is the God of our fathers. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And right there, embedded in this name of God, is this sentiment that conveys that although generations come and go, although generations pass away, that God himself remains, that his faithfulness remains throughout the generations. We read in Deuteronomy 7:9, it's Moses speaking, and he says this, he says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, and he is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. You know, I think since Adam and Eve to about now, they estimate about 160, 170 generations, that's all. So this scripture is telling us that he is the God of all generations, 1,000 generations, all that ever were, all that ever will be. So when we penned this nation's church culture statement, we are about the generations. I think we're about the generations because he's about the generations. Amen. You know, we're made in his likeness and his image. We know that. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that we also are designed to think and operate generationally. He never designed us to live isolated, but connected. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. He's connected us in families, hasn't he? He's connected us in relationships. He's connected us in communities and in his body, the church. And these connections, they traverse the passage of time. They span the generations, these connections, fathers and mothers who impart to children, who grow and become fathers and mothers, who impart to children, and on it goes. And this is all by his design, the way he created us. And this relational and generational design that we are designed in, it has implications. The implication is that the things we do here and now are going to matter to others. Our words, our actions, our choices, our belief, those things we do, they're going to matter to others. They're going to matter to the people that we're connected to. They're going to matter to the people that come after us. They're going to matter on a micro scale. They're going to matter on a macro scale. They're going to matter in your family. They're going to matter in the wider community. They're going to matter in the church community. Your actions and your words, your belief, they all matter. They're significant. In fact, these are the very things that become the substance of your legacy. Legacy is defined in the dictionary. I think Maureen kind of alluded to it as anything that is handed down from the past or from an ancestor or a predecessor. I think it's the sum of all those words and the sum of all those choices and the sum of all those actions and those beliefs that actually become our legacy. They become what we hand down. And whether you want to acknowledge it or not, this morning, every single person is going to leave some sort of legacy. Every single one of us will leave some sort of legacy. But the truth is that not every single person leaves a good legacy. Everyone's words, beliefs, choices, actions impacting someone else, but not always in a positive sense. Not everything that is handed down to a new generation is desirable, and I think we need an amen there, you know? We all know and understand that. Not everybody had the benefit of having mothers or fathers, be they biological or spiritual, that were really intentional with them, that really left something great for them. We all know of situations where people are living in a legacy that is far from desirable. Maybe that's your story here this morning. Maybe you're living in a legacy of pain and grief and disappointment and maybe debt or loss or heartache. You know, there's good news this morning. There's great news this morning is that we don't have to be that sort of legacy lever. Every single person in this room can make a choice to leave a legacy of faith for a new generation. Doesn't matter where you've come from. Doesn't matter how old or young you are in this place. In fact, it doesn't have that much to do with age. It doesn't matter whether or not you have biological children or who or what went before you. We can kind of forget the past and go, well, from this day forward, we can make choices to speak and act and believe in such a way that will ensure we play our part in leaving an incredible legacy for a new generation. You know, it is true that we're deeply grateful for those legacy leavers that have gone before us. But the reality is that as of this day, as of right here, right now, the baton is in our hand. You know, the baton's in our hand. It's time for us to set up a new generation, to see them go further than us, to see them go faster than us. We set them up to win. But the problem is that so often we buy into lies that we don't have what it takes to leave a significant legacy. The problem is that we can just live in the now without thinking about the future. We buy into sorts of lies that say you have to be some sort of extraordinary person if you want to leave an extraordinary legacy. You have to be some sort of giant in the faith if you want to leave a legacy of faith. We can buy into the lie that everything about me is just a little bit too ordinary and that doesn't really matter and it won't really impact anyone or anything, that I don't really have anything significant to say. And if we buy into those lies, we can be so tempted to stop. Stop speaking. Stop acting. Stop believing. Stop giving. Stop serving. Instead of living with the future in mind, we just kind of stay content in the day. But it's a trap. It's an absolute lie of the enemy. The enemy wants you to stop because he knows something. He knows that ordinary people are capable of leaving extraordinary legacies. I want to say it again. I want to prophesy it over your life. Ordinary people are capable of leaving extraordinary legacies. It's very often just ordinary people, just people like you and me, you know, just ordinary mums and dads and teachers and mentors. I know Joel referenced his grandfather. I don't know where he is now, but he referenced his grandfather. And Pastor John, beautiful man, passed away earlier this year. But in many respects, he was just an ordinary man. He was an ordinary, faithful, you know, man. I've lost my place in my notes. Praise the Lord. You know, people that just do ordinary things but do them in faith, they're often the very sorts of people that leave extraordinary legacies. You know, when I was a speech pathologist, I had a work colleague. She was a good friend of mine, but she was also a very loud and proud atheist. She was a scary atheist, just being frank. And she is way more intelligent than me. I mean, her IQ was probably off the charts, way more widely read than me. Literature and philosophy, they were her thing. And she knew that I was a Christian, and she knew that I was involved in church. And I'd try and do the Christian thing, as we do, you know, pray for her a little bit. And when I remembered, and I'd try and, you know, be a witness in my workplace. And occasionally we'd have discussions about faith. And to be honest, when those discussions happened, I felt like I was being thrown to the wolves. Has anyone ever been in that situation before? You know, I felt completely out of my depth in those moments, and like I didn't have any answers for all of her questions, or not usually questions, actually. And we parted ways back in 2003. We kind of lost contact. And if you'd asked me if I had had any impact in her life for Christ, I left sort of any sort of legacy in her life for Christ, I would have said, no way. Nah, just didn't. But recently we reconnected, just this year, we reconnected on Facebook nearly 15 years after working together. And I want you to read what she wrote to me after all of these years. Can we put that? Oh, here we go. True story. She said, hello, so lovely to reconnect. I think of you often as the lovely Christian who gently stopped me from being an atheist. I'm still an atheist, but I ask fellow non-believers to step away from Richard Dawkins at every opportunity, so hopefully I'm not the argumentative beep you once knew. I still also remember the unsolicited dome coffee you got me when I had tonsillitis. Good times. I know. I was blown away. I'm like 15 years have passed and she remembers that I bought her a coffee. Like, praise be to the Lord. You know, in subsequent chats that I had with her as we reconnected, she told me she's a mum now and she's got two sons. And she told me she bought them both a Bible and she reads the Bible to them. I know, and she said that they ask questions of her, like, were there any kangaroos on the ark, Mummy? And could Jonah see inside the whale, Mum? And apparently the youngest boy gets a kick out of when Jesus says, this is my blood. That's his favourite bit. It's a true story, all 100% true. But I'm just blown away that after 15 years, she remembers who I was. She remembers what I did. It was so ordinary. You know, my witness was just so average, but I never realized that those ordinary moments could actually leave a significant sort of legacy. With the time we've got left, and we don't have much time this morning, but I'm going to just explore with you a couple of seemingly ordinary things that we can do that, although they're ordinary, they can have extraordinary power in leaving a legacy for a new generation. And I want to say, and it was already alluded to on the panel this morning, which is great because it means I'm barking up the right tree, praise the Lord Jesus. Do you know that there is power in your persevering faith? There's an enormous amount to be said for a person that just doesn't quit, a person whose faith keeps on showing up. It just doesn't give up. You know, faith doesn't always have to be mountain moving in order for it to be significant. Faith that simply perseveres is incredibly significant. It's the sort of faith that gets back up when it's knocked down. It's the sort of faith that remains in spite of the challenges that life brings. It remains in spite of the season. Through highs, it's there, and also in lows. You know, in blessings, it's there, and also in curses. That sort of faith in the day-to-day grind of your life, it might sometimes look quite ordinary, but it's the sort of faith that can leave a legacy. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, verse 12, the author of Hebrews, he's addressing Christians, and he says, we don't want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. This phrase, imitate those, is so interesting. You know, who are those people that we should imitate? Who are those people? What have they done that they've become worthy of our imitation? Did they do a superhuman thing? Did they exhibit some sort of amazing talent or gift? No, it just says imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what has been promised. Through faith and patience, they fulfilled the dream. Through faith and patience, they stayed the path. It wasn't grandiose. It was just faith and patience. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. You know, that word patience, it means to endure long. It's got this connotation of time, lots and lots of time. Faith over time. Faith across time. I want to tell you that that persevering faith is a legacy-leaving faith. It gives the new generation something to imitate. My mum exhibited a persevering faith. Mum and Dad are such a wonderful part of this church. They're cruising the British Isles this morning. They're stopping in Cork. Yes. My ancestry is from Cork. Another story. But Mum and Dad lead the Evergreens ministry together and they're wonderful. But around the time I was a teenager, my dad for many years, he didn't attend church. And that was a really, really difficult time, I know, for my mum, because she greatly desired to go to church as a family the way we did when I was a child. But Dad, through my teenage years, he just wasn't in a great place. And all throughout that season, for years, she just faithfully took me to youth every Friday night. And she faithfully brought me to church every Sunday, like week in, week out, week in, week out. And it was such a hard time for her. I know she really struggled going to the house of God by herself without Dad. But she never stopped. She never, ever quit. It was a faith that persevered. And in many respects, the thing that my mum did was very ordinary. It's kind of quite ordinary, right, to drive your child to youth and to church. It's very ordinary. But I tell you, in me, it's left a significant legacy. I literally do not know where I would be today if Mum had thrown in the towel during those years. If Mum just had said, it's all too hard. If she had stopped bringing me to the house of God as a young teenager in my formative years, God did stuff in me then that I remember now, that I reference now. It may have been ordinary, but I know that I owe so much of who I am today because of her legacy. You know, there's power in your faith that perseveres. You know, there's also great power in the past tense. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about the power of your testimony. The power of your testimony, the power of the past tense. See, when a new generation starts out, all they really have to work with is the future tense. You know, they've got more hopes and dreams in their heart than they do have stories and testimonies. And their language is like language of future tense. I'm believing that God will. I'm hopeful that my eyes will see. I'm holding on to this promise for tomorrow, etc., etc. But as you walk with God over years and turning into decades, that all begins to shift. You unlock the power of the past tense. You unlock the power of your testimony. The language is no longer, I believe my God will, but it's my son. Come here. Let me tell you about how my God did. You know, it's no longer just that promise for tomorrow. It's a testimony of a promise that was fulfilled, of God's provision coming to pass, of his faithfulness being displayed time and time again. The Apostle Paul, he drew on the power of the past tense over and over as he addresses his son, Timothy, spiritual son, Timothy, in the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. And he says things like this in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 to 14. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength, past tense, that he considered me a trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy, past tense, because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly, past tense, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. There's so many other places where he says, God appointed me and God rescued me from all of my troubles. troubles. What's he doing? He's sharing with his spiritual son, Timothy. He's telling him his testimony. It's no longer a theory. It's not an argument. It's not a hope for the future. It's his life experience. It's he's lived it. He's encountered it. His eyes have seen it. And that is the power of the past tense. He's not keeping it to himself because he understands that testimony releases faith. Testimony releases faith. Testimony has the power to impart boldness, the power to impart courage in a new generation. It's like faith rises as we hear the stories of all that God did. It's this sense that if God did it for you, he can do it for me. If he did it there, he can do it here. If he did it in that generation, he can do it in this generation. You know, sharing your story might seem so ordinary, but there's power, legacy-leaving power in your testimony. If you're ever caught in a position to either speak or not speak, share it or not share it. I say by all means tell it, speak it, share your testimony because you never know the legacy it might leave. Now we've run out of time this morning. There is so many other things that we could have looked at this morning. You know, there's power in your prayer. There's so much power in your faithful prayers, Mum and Dads. They are not ordinary. They are powerful. There's power in your encouragement and you just believing in someone and coming alongside. But whoever you are today, wherever you're at in life, no matter whether you're in your senior years or you're not even close, we're all capable of leaving an extraordinary legacy if we just don't stop. You know, don't stop speaking, don't stop believing, don't stop in faith, don't stop testifying. Do those ordinary things well and do them in faith and do them often and do them over and over again and do them year in and year out and do them when you feel like it and do them when you don't. And if you stay the path, faith and patience will run its course. Faith and patience will run its course and you'll find the sum of all your ordinary can leave an extraordinary legacy. Amen. Amen. Why don't all over this place, let's just stand to our feet. Singers and musos can join me.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.